evidence at this time that warrants changing the name of the James Webb Space Telescope. There is no report released and no details on the investigation, and a lot of people were upset about NASA's lack of transparency. Many astronomers feel that changing the name of the telescope would be a way for NASA to start to reckon with its past and help reinforce the values NASA wants to carry into the future.
I think it would help send the message that NASA in its current era does not tolerate the same sort of intolerance that was present in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. We are going to do our best to foster an inclusive, accepting, and welcoming environment, that we want people who have been historically discriminated against and persecuted, because they make our agency stronger.
And for astronomers who are using the telescope, applying for time, you know, writing up their work, knowing that they're kind of reinvigorating the legacy of somebody who very clearly did not support them, I think it's a particularly heavy burden to ask queer astronomers to have to carry that burden. It kind of sends a pretty clear message about who is considered important or relevant.
You know, this isn't James Webb on trial. This is, what should we name the telescope? And I don't think anyone starting from a clean sheet, looking at lists of names and coming up with the best name, would have James Webb anywhere near the top of that list.
You know, I realize that people's legacies are often complicated, but, you know, having a telescope named after you is not something that everybody just gets.
To be honest, I'm not quite sure why in this particular case NASA is so insistent on James Webb. It feels a little bit strange. There are just so many choices for NASA, right? Even if James Webb was a great guy, if this NASA is not, it didn't get buy-in from the community, I don't see a strong reason that we need to stick to this specific NASA.
One suggestion for a different name for the observatory could be the Harriet Tubman Space Telescope.
So I think that when we're talking about sending something that represents humanity into space, that we should be thinking about sending the best of humanity into space and something that represents our very best. And Harriet Tubman is an exemplar of who we can be as a species and as individuals in terms of a commitment to what is right and doing what is right, a commitment to justice and a commitment to being actively engaged in struggle and to liberation.
The criticisms that I have sometimes heard are, you know, like, oh, well, Harriet Tubman wasn't an astronomer. Well, neither was James Webb. And also, you know, I think the question of who is an astronomer, right? Like, let's think about, why wasn't Harriet Tubman an astronomer, even though she observed the night sky and used the stars for celestial navigation in the service of something that could not have been greater, right? People's freedom. You know, to me, like, that makes her an astronomer.
With the name, I just see a lot more hope and happiness. There's a lot more positive characteristics that come with a name such as Harriet Tubman Space Telescope than comes with James Webb, I'd say. And it gives a lot of people who have traditionally been excluded in the community a sense of belonging, I'd say.
An extended excerpt from the new Just Space Alliance documentary called Behind the Name, James Webb Space Telescope. We'll link to the full film on our website. It's produced, edited, and narrated by Katrina Jackson, a space science communicator and video producer. The film features the historian Audra Wolf, NASA's Rolf Danner, astronomers Chanda Prescott-Weinstein and Lucian Walkowitz, who we spoke with earlier about the petition they helped launch for NASA to change the James Webb Space Telescope's name, which has gathered 1,800 signatures and counting. That does it for our show, Democracy Now!, produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Masaya Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Tarasena, Tammy Warnock, Trina Nadura, Sam Alcock, Tamari Astudio, John Hamilton, Rabbi Karen, Hani Masood, our executive director, Julie Crosby. I'm Amy Goodman.
reach the
So, if you're outside of our coverage area, remember, you can listen to WRCT online. Live streaming available at www.wrct.org. WRCT Pittsburgh. You have no excuse not to listen.
Every year, over 1 million fires burn in America. Fortunately, firefighters are on the job, saving life and property. And you can be a part of it. 7 out of 10 firefighters and emergency responders are volunteers. There's no typical firefighter. Anyone can volunteer to serve their community. Volunteering as a first responder is really about having the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. Your community needs you. Are you ready to answer the call? Learn more and find local volunteer opportunities at makemeafirefighter.org.
Jesus died for somebody's sins, but not mine. Milton, pot of thieves, wild cord on my sleeve. Thick, heart of stone, my sins my own, they belong to me, me. People say beware, but I don't care. The words are just rules and regulations to me, me.
Didn't understand. Daddy! I just come back from Minneapolis, where I just beat Vern Gagne and Dick the Bruiser, Daddy. They know it. You can bring on Haystack Balloon, Eric Bloom. I don't care who you bring here, Daddy. Rainbow, Strongbow, they're all going under the thunder of Manitoba.
We'll be right back. Alone and you got the shakes, so am I, baby. deserts of Sudan and the gardens of Japan, from Milan to Yucatan, every woman's, every man. Hit me with your rhythm stick, hit me, hit me, je t'adore, ich liebe dich. Hit me, hit me, hit me, hit me with your rhythm stick, hit me slowly, hit me quick, hit me.
Thank you. run through a washer machine. Agitated, I'm so agitated. I'm so convoluted, I don't know what I know. But I just like to shoot it, and it's 5 a.m. And I'm crawling the walls, just waiting for imaginary telephone calls. And I'm so agitated, so agitated. I'm so agitated, I'm so agitated, I'm so agitated that I'm so agitated. You know what I think the whole world stinks, and I don't need no shrink, I just hate it. I'm so convoluted that I'm so agitated. And sometimes I think I'd be better off dead, just like my cousin Fred.
The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees. Yo-ho, it's hot. The sun is not a place where we could live. But here on Earth there'd be no life without the light it gives. We need its light, we need its heat, we need its energy. Without the sun, without a doubt, there'd be no you and me. The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees. The sun is hot.
It is so hot that everything on it is a gas: iron, copper, aluminum, and many others.
The sun is large.
If the sun were hollow, a million Earths could fit inside, and yet the sun is only a middle-sized star.
The sun is far away.
About 93 million miles away. And that's why it looks so small.
And even when it's out of sight, the sun shines night and day. The sun gives heat, the sun gives light, the sunlight that we see. The sunlight comes from our own sun's atomic energy.
Scientists have found that the sun is a huge atom-smashing machine. The heat and light of the sun come from the nuclear reactions of hydrogen, carbon, nitrogen, and helium.
The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees.
That's right, and it's Zombo right here in your brain, WRCT, in the Pittsburgh. And this is the beginning. This is the real beginning. Oh, this is going to be some epic radio. It is. Me and you, we're going to celebrate and travel to the sun for the next 300 songs. So about at least 300 songs. 6 radio shows. 18 hours of songs about the sun, sunshine, sunglasses, sunburns, anything that involves the sun. Celebrating the season of the sun. Oh, man, I love me some sun. Is lay back, and then you have you just get your eyes closed, and it's all that red, weird blood that you kind of see through your eyelids, but it's very, very relaxing. I always like naps in the sun. Very nice. This is WRCT in the Pittsburgh, and yeah, there was no Kenny Joe this morning, but we had a nice array of 80s stuff, and I believe that's probably some of the Mockster's automation. So I was enjoying that journey. I could have started early. You know, I could have started early, but I figured, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy some of this wonderful 80s stuff. And why was music so different in the 80s? Why was there so many different things? And why is it so homogenous now? And, well, at least unless you go dig around the internet and find a bunch of different stuff. But as far as, like, easily accessible music, that whole period of the 80s was, a lot of independent labels. Record companies were just signing everybody. They were signing. No way would bands like Talking Heads or Devo or any of these other bands be signed now if they came along at this period of time. So it was just a very sweet spot in music. There was the birth of, like, you know, hip hop and rap and trip. I don't know. Trip hop was more 90s. But, you know, punk, new wave, you know, it was a great time to straddle new music, because it was not under the corporate thumb. You know, it wasn't smashed down by the man. And speaking of smashing down and the atom smashing machine, the sun, let's dig right into some grooviness. We have got a lot of sun to do. Oh, this is So, like I'm saying, I'm trying to celebrate the seasons. Something different. I'm going to try and do it all year long. And we did a couple shows on the beach, a couple shows actually on this summer. And I bet I can go all the way into the fall with some of these summer, because I've got, like, I still got to get, like, beach wear and all the other, what other things do I have as far as ideas for summer? Let me see here. I do plan. Hot rods, a whole surf show, and swimwear. And there you go. Yeah, so I guess not much more. All right. Oh, I just feel so good to be in the studio. Sure, the sun is shining outside, and it's very nice. But it is so nice to be here with you on Fridays. Tomorrow is going to be lots of fun. The Polka Maniacs will be playing Picklesburg, which is our going to be a really nice. We're playing around 1 o'clock tomorrow, and Picklesburg is free on the I think it's the 10th Street, the Rachel Karchem Bridge. It's one of those bridges, the 10th Street Bypass Bridge. Fantastic. So we hope to see you there. And if not, well, then I won't see you there. It's that simple. So let's dig right into Like the Third Stone from the Sun by Dick Dale, Zombo, right here in your brain. And we're just digging in the sun, RCT Pittsburgh.
Jimmy, I'm still here. Wish you were.
Well, I think you're joining Jimmy here. Sorry, Dick.